Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Carolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. COVID-19 era scams follow the news, from phony promises of financial assistance to fake access to vaccines. But tech support scams have surged to number one on the list of scam threats. Tech support scams are attacks that rely on fear, uncertainty, doubt. They're designed to trick you into believing something is wrong, and they seek to steal your personal information. They tap your bank account, or they'll install dangerous software on your device, and it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet, and in an instant, a cybercriminal could harm what's yours, your finances, and your credit. But good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web, and if they detect your information may have potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. You got to check it out. It's LifeLock. Tell them, Gio.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for November 6th, 2021. Carolla Classics is back, if you haven't heard already, and we got a great show lined up for you. You know how it goes. We take clips of the Adam Carolla Show, highlights over the many, many years, and we're going to consolidate them all into one beautiful program. My name's Chris Loxamana. I'm the executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. Happy Saturday.
And happy Saturday to you, Gio. I'm really excited for this first clip, because earlier this week we had Greg Fitzsimmons on, and He did probably one of his all-time best appearances, I think. He really, really brought it, talking about going to Dead & Company. And I remembered, I love talking music with Greg.
Yeah, it was great. He made a funny joke about one of my David Wilde, which was a hilarious comment, about his participation in the show on the most recent episode. And then also he addressed being, quote-unquote, California sober for the longest time. There's been this crazy controversy with what a terrible person Adam is for the two times he offered Greg a drink. And then Greg played it up for the audience, but also may have been mildly personally offended. But everybody always thinks, Adam's a terrible man. And then now he's like, oh, no, Greg smokes pot and does mushrooms.
Yeah, I was really surprised to hear that. I actually didn't know he did
that. I knew that because he's been talking about his show for years. He just doesn't bring it to the ACS. So it's always this thing of people are upset. I was like, well, the guy smokes a lot of weed, man. I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah. Anyway, I love that conversation. And let's go back to 2015 when they talk about another musical artist.
Adam Carolla Show 1469, Greg Fitzsimmons, Cassius Morris, not in this portion, Gina Grad and Brian Bishop, December of 2015. Adam and Greg do some live commentary. It's pretty great. Check it out.
Greg Fitzsimmons is here. Fitz Dog in studio.
Always a pleasure, Adam. Thanks for welcoming me.
I was listening to you last night on your podcast / radio show. I think
no kidding.
Sirius XM show. Yeah, I was driving home from Phil Rosenthal's house where I saw the Babadook movie.
Was it as scary as I've heard?
No.
Okay.
And was just listening to you talking to Pauly Shore. And
yeah.
I just thought, how much it. There's something that I don't know that I hope, I pray we'll never get over as human beings, which is sitting in and listening to a conversation.
Yeah.
I felt it just sitting in my car alone, seeing this crazy, scary movie, driving home, slight red wine buzz.
Nice.
And listening to you and Pauly Shore just have a discussion that probably took place earlier in the week.
Right. You keep to a maximum, bro.
You know what? He is, I didn't know the guy. He's very appealing. He's a very kind of decent guy.
I think you have to be when you're Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
You have to be likable.
Maybe he wasn't 20 years ago. So 20 years, but he literally, I go to comedy clubs and they tell me about the line, the blowjob line. He would have a tour bus and there was a guy you had to blow in order to blow Pauly. So you got, it was a double blow.
Wow.
Right.
You had to blow a guy to get to Pauly.
Blow the privilege.
Guy. Right.
The privilege of blowing Pauly Shore.
Who's that desperate, to give blowjobs and blow Pauly?
And by the way, if you're Pauly Shore, as the sort of alpha male in the blowjob line. Don't you want to be at the front of the line?
Yeah.
Like, do you want some chick coming up and hiccuping and a big bubble coming out of her mouth
right.
of the guy who's driving the tour bus's semen, you know, before she gets to you and then goes, excuse me. Anyway, your turn now, Polly. Right. Like,
very little suction left.
Almost no suction left.
Her cheek muscles are fried.
Yeah, like when a shop vac filter just gets completely fried. You know, like it's filled with dust and water and everything else. There's no suction at all. You have to put your hand at the end of her. You do that.
You
put your hand
pull
on
long
the,
hairs out of her mouth.
Yeah, you put your hand at the end of her mouth. nothing.
And she pulls that move where she spits on her hand and works the base.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
I don't really have a base. There's just the part in the head.
All metal.
I wish there was a base.
Well, it could be like eating an hors d'oeuvre, kind of working the base.
You know, oh,
just the,
finger
just
food.
The finger and the
right.
thumb.
Mm-hmm. Smart. You know? So there really was a blowjob line.
Well, there was also a complicit understanding. Implicit, which is the one where you say it out loud.
Implicit.
Explicit.
There was explicit. Mm-hmm. There was an explicit understanding that entering the bus required fornication or oral sex with Paulie. Mm-hmm. He would wait in the bus, and he had a certain song that he would play.
I feel sorry for the driver.
Yeah.
Because he had
63-year-old gentleman of color. Like, let's get this over with. You know what I mean?
When do I get some?
Yeah. Each time he had to leave the bus and come back, it was more oral with Paulie.
Right. Don't you have to go to the bathroom? No, not yet.
No. I just pissed myself.
And they'd come in, and they would have to throw down.
What song?
Oh, God, I wish I could remember it. It was like a real 80s kind of metal. And he'd drink...
He had a sort of a hit, right?
What do you mean, a hit song?
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Pauly Shore, you're going to have to look for this, Brian, had a sort of song about a girl's name where he just kind of... It was back...
Ooh, this is ringing a bell.
Yeah, it was back. There was like a 19-month period of the 80s where people were so fucking high, they just didn't care. It was like, Eddie Murphy, you got a song? Bring it on.
Moon Pauly Zappa
Shore,
singing
Moon
Valley
Zappa.
Girl.
Yeah, Lisa. I didn't even know what it was. It's like, Lisa, right. You're the one I adore. It was just one of those. You got. I swear to God, it was called Lisa. I think we
found it.
Is it like a rock and roll song?
1986, the Chicago Bears. The
Shuffle. Right. We'll figure it out.
You're the last three fresh nugs. I'm going to ask you one question to see who can be in the video, okay? What do you want from life?
Well, I want to feed the children, house the homeless, save the rainforest, and finish up my woods class.
I want what she wants.
Okay. Number three.
I want Bon Jovi cocktails from Heather's. Nightstand.
Oh, she is, isn't she?
I think that's too much.
Bullseye. She nailed it, buddy.
It's like Pauly Shore doing Pauly Shore in 1988, right?
My own rock video.
When's this video going to start?
Seriously. This is it. This is the video. Do you like it?
This is the video? You jerk.
Ow.
You're stupid. You're ugly and you smell. I can't believe you picked me.
What year is this, Gary?
The singer is such a babe.
You think he's hot?
Mm-hmm.
You think he's sexy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, I'll show you hot and sexy. Cool, buddies. Go, man. This song about a girl, bro, that came out to Hollywood to make it from the farm. She's totally fresh. Maybe she's from Atlanta, the Midwest. You know she's milked cows, though, dude. She's totally clean. It's called Lisa, the one I adore. I'm a stony, crusty dude with the mop on top. My melon's fully tweed, but I'll never stop. Stop trying to weed the nugs from coast to coast.
Nugs.
The ones with the cones are the ones I dig the most. Lisa. They cheer.
It's a semi-hit.
Lisa. I'm a melon, dude. Second verse.
1991.
Cruising down the street.
You're
kidding. In my Jeep, there's a Lisa chilling solo, so I give it a beep. Witness my words and my helmet too.
Your donut's kind of fresh. I want to glaze you. Lisa.
All right, you get it.
Your donut's kind of fresh. I want to glaze you. Yeah,
that was magic.
He needed somebody saying no
right.
on in his world.
Yes.
It was also a time when people were like, everyone loves rock, right?
Uh-huh.
All right.
What's not to love?
I'm doing an album.
Sweet.
Except for, I don't play an instrument. I have no ability.
Doesn't matter.
Everyone's into rock. That's what I'm doing.
As a 13-year-old who watched MTV 23 hours a day in 1991, the fact that I've never seen that means... maybe wasn't that well received by the people over at MTV?
But the fact that I was well aware of
that's
it
crazy.
Means it was out there. Because it's not like, it wasn't one of these things. See, it's pretty pure because now and from this day forth, we'll never know what we knew, what was popular, and what Jimmy Kimmel forwarded us on some YouTube, whatever, hey, hit this link. Because right now, half the shit we get is hit this link, and the other half is like, oh, I found it on my own. Or 90% of it is hit this link. So was it, from this day forth, was it actually popular? Or did a friend of yours just forward you the link, and then 20 years from now, you'll go, oh, that was popular because I saw it.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
You just had a dickhead friend who forwarded it to you.
Yeah.
But there was no forwarding in 1991.
This had to be seen,
I'd seen it, I'd heard it, and I'd seen it and heard it enough to know that he did it.
Yeah. Did it sound familiar when you were listening to it just now?
The Lisa?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the Lisa that I remember from the early
90s. The tune would stick in my head, except I literally do not think there was a tune.
Actually, unfortunately, something is stuck in my head.
Yeah.
From that video.
Right, spent condom.
Now I'm not sure that was the girl from Heather's, FYI.
Either way, it was a horrible, horrible song, but either way, he was serious about it in 1991.
Oh, yeah.
And that was Greg Fitzsimmons back in 2015 talking about Pauly Shore's song, Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa, the one I adore. And it's okay for them to mock this because Adam loves Pauly. And also, this isn't a good song by anybody's subjective estimation. It's very much of the time and a level of fame he achieved. I'm sure Pauly may even have a sense of humor about it now, too. And one of the funniest things Adam's ever done is appear on Pauly's video podcast on YouTube during the pandemic and then just make fun of him for an hour.
Yeah.
One of the greatest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
That was a really great appearance too. I remember Pauly had his staff like in the closet when Adam did it.
I thought it was the best thing ever.
All right, before we get going to the next clip, I want to remind everybody, if you want to submit a clip request, if there's a clip that you want to hear on this very show, all you have to do is email it to us, classics@adamcarolla.com. And just let us know what you want to hear, maybe when you think it happened, who was on the show, and we will find it. Or you can...
any obscure details you got, a key phrase, whatever you think might be relevant. If you're not sure, it doesn't matter. We read every email, we add them to the list, they all get sought after. So
that's right.
Your effort is not wasted.
And also, we're on Instagram at Giovanni Giorgio or at Chris Loxamana 1. You can find us
there.
And request clips there. Or just Google us. There are ways to get hold of us, and we'd love to hear from you. All right, let's get going with our next clip. We're going to bring in a guest that every time he comes on, Adam is visibly giddy as we await for him to arrive to the studio. It's Joel McHale, and this is from 2011.
Adam's just curious what Subaru he's driving. It's Adam Carolla Show 703. It's a Joel McHale one-on-one episode. November of 2011. This is part one. Part two will play tomorrow, Sunday, in the Carolla Classics feed. It's a really fun interview. It's kind of all over the place, and it's just the two guys talking. Check it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on.
I got a tweet about this.
Joel McHale, everybody. Great to see you, my brother.
It is great to see you.
So many things to discuss.
Yes. I hope we have about 6 hours.
No. Well, it'll edit down to 6 hours.
Okay.
We'll go fat. First off, Joel's going to be a huge star. Joel is a big star. Yes, and is going to be, and somebody reminded me, and I've thought that about you for some time, and it's coming to fruition, and somebody told me, or reminded me, that when Ryan Reynolds, many years ago, when he came on Loveline, when he was doing Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place,
right.
or something like that, I said, Ryan Reynolds, you, my man, are going to be a big star.
And he said,
get your thumb out of my ass. Ah. And I said, but you're going to be a big star. And I want to say that I put my thumb in Ryan Reynolds' ass, and I'll let you sniff it afterward. But now I'm glad I did it.
See?
And I said the same about Joel McHale, and he's getting a thumb as well.
Oh.
Community, what's the status of Community? Because I've heard some different things.
It has been, I think the official, the technical term is benched.
Mm-hmm.
That means we were told vaguely we are coming back. You will not see us on the winter schedule, but you will see us. So we're going to have the Christmas episode. I think it's the second week of December, and then you won't see us again till vaguely sometime in March or April. And I don't know when that is.
And I watched, by the way, I was on an airplane yesterday, and I watched a couple episodes of Community. So they're playing it on American Airlines flight.
Yeah.
Great show.
Thank you.
Which
episode did you see?
I saw the one. Now, keep in mind, I was drunk.
Right.
So I have to cobble this together.
How is that any different than when you're watching TV at home or anything?
No, it's no different.
Right.
But I don't get quizzed on it.
Oh, right.
No one says to me, what'd you watch last night? And I say, Sports Center. And they go, what happened? And I'm like, Pedro Astacio did something. Is he still in the league?
They did 9 hours of coverage of the Patriots and other Tom Brady's.
I think you had your kiss. No. Yeah, you and Britta had your... Oh, no, not you and Britta kissed.
Yeah.
You and...
That was the Timelines episode.
Other one.
Flipping the dice.
Made out. Yeah, you're flipping the dice. And it ended with the roll of the dice.
Yeah. How about that SportsCenter these days?
I had the worst... I ran into the worst person to run into in the airport when you're drunk.
Uh-oh.
Other than, like, your gym coach or your... Or maybe like the
ex-girlfriend,
like clergymen that whoever's in the clergy that molested you at a young age. I guess that might be good.
Yeah.
No, I was at the airport and I was like in the captain's lounge. And my whole thing with flying is I'm just going to get drunk and forget about this whole thing and I'll wake up my own bed because I'm not flying the plane and I'm not driving the car that's picking me up and I don't know what time it is and I don't give a fuck and I like being drunk and walking around.
Was it a cross country flight?
Yeah, I was flying from New York and I heard somebody say Amari Stoudemire.
Oh, no,
we'll have to spell this one out.
They miss-said Amari Stoudemire's name?
No, they said it correctly.
Okay.
They said it correctly. And then he is 7'1" of can't pronounce either one of your names, and I was sloppy drunk, and I heard somebody say Amari is here or something like that, and I remember just thinking, that was funny. And I just sort of moved on, and next thing you know, I was getting in an elevator, and he walks in. And he goes, hey, Adam, what's up, man? And I was like, hey, it's Amari Stoudemire. What the fuck kind of black name is? Is it
Stoudemire?
Stoudemire.
Yeah.
That's a name for a golfer. What? And not a black one. And then Amari is...
I feel like there's been a number of basketball players named Stoudemire. Or athletes. I feel like as an athletic
7-foot black ones? And all I'm saying, Amari Stoudemire, and you got to picture yourself being drunk, being sleep deprived, and trying to get Amari Stoudemire to come out of your drunken mouth when you're just standing there holding a fucking backpack that's got too much shit shoved into it.
You tell him that you were drunk?
I think I called him Saddlemire or
Craig Stoudemire. What did he say? Did he just turn away?
No, he was just nice.
Did he go, I'm glad I'm on strike?
He was just nice.
I don't want you to enjoy
it. It's also weird, too, as a guy, you're 6'4".
Right.
You're not used to dudes towering above you.
They're much larger.
It's so fucking bothersome.
Concert, and I was backstage with Blake Griffin,
mm-hmm.
and he is like a huge, perfectly proportioned, as if there was another group of people on a different planet that gravity did not affect the same way. They just are larger and stronger.
It does make you realize why the guys that are 5'6" are pissed. Because I can only hang out with Penn Jillette for so long before I start getting pissed off, or other guys that are over 6'7".
But you have them on body fat percentage non-painted pinkies.
That's true. And it's
pinky nails.
But it's so...
There's... See how that...
Yeah, there's... Yeah.
Okay, so Danny... That picture, Dan, that was actually the night. Danny and Donald are normal-sized people. They are not small. Danny is 6 feet tall.
Right, and thus it
and look at Blake Griffin's
Danny
head.
From Community, by the way.
Yeah, Danny Pudi and the great Childish Gambino, Mr. Don Glover, going to his album Camp.
It gives you.
And Blake Griffin's also funny, and he's good looking. Have you followed him on Twitter? He says really good things.
No, but you know, I'm done. You know how they do that thing where they go like, "Hey, man, George Carlin's the best," and I saw him once, and he inspired me. I see people that are really good and go, "Oh, fuck that. I'll never be that good." I'd rather see really shitty comedians and really short basketball players who aren't funny.
Yeah.
And then I go, "Fuck that. I'm better than he is." Because that's what really, if you sit around and watch Muhammad Ali, you don't sit around and go, "I'll kick his ass."
No.
What you want to see is some guy with a fucking, you know, no jab and a nice, you know, spare tire around the gut. And then you go, "I think I kicked that guy's ass." And that would inspire you to do it. So
you've only been inspired by people that aren't as good as you.
Yeah. That's how I roll.
So
I look up to people that everyone else looks down at. They inspire me.
So if you meet your favorite Prince, do you think, "Oh, I'll just..."
I would love it if Prince was standing there with Amari, and Amari just quietly pulled the scrotum out and rested it on his hat. he got behind Prince and he said, "Hey, man, I want to take a picture with you." And he got behind him and just very slowly undid his zipper. And Prince was like, felt a little weight on his head, but he thought maybe Amari wasn't enough. But it was warm. Mm. You know, and it's like, and he reached up and he actually, Amari to actually took his sack out and rested it upon the top of Prince's head. That'd be awesome.
But remember that Dave Chappelle sketch where Prince is really good at basketball? So there's a thing where...
Did not see that.
Speaking of people that are good, I just saw Steven Soderbergh's Haywire. Have you seen that movie?
No.
It's the first time in any action movie where this woman is the lead, and she is a real MMA fighter, Carano.
Mm-hmm. Gina Carano.
She would kick any man's ass.
Oh, she's unbelievable.
And it's the first time in a movie I was like, "Why hasn't this been..." I was like, "Oh, this never been done." Where she'll kick anyone's ass. It was so great.
Yeah.
As opposed to like stylized violence where you're like, "Well, I don't think Angelina Jolie could really kick my ass." But
right.
They did that. But it was so well done. Oh, there she is.
He's great. I'm going to see that. I saw Joel's movie that's coming out pretty soon. Seth MacFarlane wrote.
Softcore stuff.
Did some directing. No, another one. The Seth MacFarlane one. Ted. Yeah.
Yeah, you saw a... I don't even know how you could see it.
Saw Friends and Family cut. Told Seth I enjoyed it. Told him I told you I enjoyed it. He said, "Who?"
And I
said, "Remember?" No. He said, "What a great guy you are."
Well, the feeling is mutual because he was very easy to work with.
And I don't want to give away too much. But I will tell you that
my character dies.
I talk. Yeah. But the way they explain it, because obviously your character didn't get shot or anything. They just said full-blown AIDS. Yeah. And I don't know why they had to say full-blown.
I think the autoerotic asphyxiation is what finally did. It's a kid's movie.
It's a musical. He said, I thought, well, there's a scene or two that needs to come out of this movie because it was fat. Like it was, you know. You know the thing I love about Seth and why he's good at what he does is... He doesn't sit around and fight you for stuff. Like, there's a lot of guys that'll fight for their ideas constantly. And so you go, "Well, how about you take out this scene?" They go, "I love that scene." They go, "How about you take out that scene?" Right. And at the end, you stop and you go, "Well, how are you going to get 30 minutes out of this if you're not willing to monkey with any?" One of the biggest scenes in the film, I told you about.
Right. And you told me about it.
I thought it needed to go. And it was one of the biggest scene in the movie. And so I called him. Or he called me and he said, "So what are you thinking about?" And I said, "Well," and before I said it, he said it and said, "It's got to go."
Wow.
It was nice. Yeah. Cause it took the pressure off of me. Not that he would have listened to me,
but he's such a comic genius. And as you saw from the movie, he was able to write a really good like story. But he's so personal, and that's why he's worth like $1 billion. Cause I think he's so people like him, and he listens so well, and then he just puts his genius on it.
And by that,
I mean Amari Stoudemire's taint.
I love that guy. And speaking of airplanes and movies, Flight Home, the movie that's playing is Monte Carlo. And I'm like, is this that? I remember saying, it's like, I said, what movie are they playing? And they said, Monte Carlo. And
like,
I thought,
oh,
and I said,
the 60s racing?
Yeah, I thought something with Formula One. I remember, I was drunk, but I remember thinking, Monte Carlo, that's pretty good. I'm thinking boobies and yachts and F1.
Yeah.
And I'm also, so I remember my first thought was, is that the last Bond film that came out? Because I didn't see that.
Right.
And I thought, this is going to be good. I can't remember what the last Bond film
Quantum
was.
Quantum of Solace.
Oh, shit. I must have really been drunk. Was
Amari
Stoudemire in that?
Amari Stoudemire's in it.
So I remember
and
thinking...
And his sidekick is penis.
I was thinking, oh, this is some movie. This is some race or some something, something. Don't show me the trailer.
Did this ever make it into theaters? Can you go to Box Office Mojo and see what
All right,
the...
Let me tell you what the movie's about, by the way. And this is why I was so fucking disturbed. Three young women vacationing in Paris find themselves whisked away. Anytime anyone... I always say, I don't want to be swept or whisked away.
Ever?
Or transported. No, it's always a bad thing. Away to Monte Carlo after one of the girls is mistaken for a British heiress. So she does her own British accent. It's her times two.
How is it?
It's
is it as good as...
I got a 37 on Rotten Tomatoes. Look, here's the only thing when you're drunk...
How much money did it make?
If you're going to watch Monte Carlo drunk as a 47-year-old male, the only upside would be beating off. And I've been warned...
On
multiple
planes.
Times on airplanes.
No matter how many blankets and pillow, you make a little pillow fort around.
I made forts. Even when I didn't have the guy next to me, I still have been warned multiple times.
You need to just not be so vocal while you're masturbating.
I can't help it because I just have to yell. Yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it made $23 million.
Yeah.
What was the budget? That's impressive.
Why would you show that on a fucking first class flight from New York to L.A. Here's who was in the first class. Me and...
Amari Stoudemire.
No.
Stanley Hoppenmeyer.
The 50-year-old chick who was with him was on my flight. It was me and 11 other white people, average age 49 and 6 months, who did not have any interest in the three tweeners that were heading to Monte Carlo and being, no one wanted to be whisked away. And we all just sat there and you see everyone looking around just staring at their fucking iPads the whole time. Yeah. And why would you show this fucking thing in first class? You think there's a bunch of 19-year-old chicks in here?
Yeah, I'm
fucking
torn.
Taylor Swift
I'm
fans?
Torn because American Airlines still has not updated their systems to the personal systems into the seats, you know, that a lot of other airlines have. But it forces everyone to watch Community.
I got...
You just put them into it. Like, people go, oh, I love your show. I catch it on the plane. I'm like, when you're forced to watch it? Great. When you're stuck in a tube at 35,000 feet?
It's a damn good show. I was...
Wow, look at that. It made $40 million.
None of it from the Corolla family.
But could you imagine if someone said, hey, Adam, you want to be in a movie where you go to France? Mm-hmm. We're going to take you to France, and we'll pay for everything. We'll take you all over Europe, and then you'll just be in this... I almost wouldn't care what it was.
Yeah, that's true. What is it? Well, you're going to be fisted in a port of sand. Are they paying for airfare?
Yep.
Okay. I'm in.
You also get a per diem.
Yeah. Oh, and the guy who's fisting you is going to be holding a handful of sand.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He's going to do this in a number of the world's most spectacular cities.
Okay. I'm in. Yeah. So that was the flight. That was the flight out. I also had a strategy that I wanted to... I had a couple of strategies and a couple of things I want to lay down on you.
On the flight.
Yeah. And
wait, do you sleep
good.
On the flight? Can you sleep?
I try, but I kind of go in and out because first class keeps food coming so often that I don't want to miss out on any of the free food.
Really?
And if you doze off for more than 40 minutes, you're definitely going to miss one of the snack trays or one of the cookies or one of the things.
How about when they bring the salad thing around and they bring out the ranch dressing that will kill a person?
Yeah, I know. I go with the balsamic.
See, when I'm on those flights, I take a sleeping pill.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I take nine sleeping pills. And then I put the sleep mask on, the earplugs, and the noise-canceling headphones.
Oh, you do the earplugs and the noise canceling?
Yes.
Well, I like that.
And it is silent.
I'm going to do that because I do the noise canceling headphones, but I don't do the earplugs. But yeah. I came up with this thing. I'm going to pass this along to you. A tip, although I got burned on it when I was
this
coming
is
home
be fashion
yesterday.
Advice, is it?
Yeah, look at me.
You can't even match your sweatsuit. You black bottom and a blue top.
I can't. It's that I just don't
right.
Care.
No, but you made a decision. You're like
I made
a, no.
I took the seat. And I had this happen to me a couple times. I actually have you have to find an accomplice for this. The person next to me, although there was no person next to me this time, I realized when I tell you to take your seat and bring it back into the upright position, all you have to do is take the seat next to you and lean it back a couple degrees. And then when you bring your seat back, you bring it back to even with that seat and no one ever says anything. What they notice is the difference. That's what they notice in life. You know what I mean? It's sort of like if everyone's going 85 miles an hour, the cops really can't tell. If you're going 85 and someone's doing 55, they'll see you.
Right.
So if your seat is tilted back, even though both of them were tilted back, as long as they're even and then there's nobody in that seat, they'll never say anything. And that's what I've been doing. And I've been getting my neighbor... Because again, I'm drunk and I'm,
I'm
coming out of my
for the next 20 minutes, we're gonna fly like kings.
Hey, I know I've been beating off of my fort for a long time, but I've come out of it.
Sir, will you please stop talking to me?
Get your seat back.
Take your seat back a few degrees, sweetie, and we can both fucking pull one over on the man.
Stop calling me sweetie.
Sorry,
you're
buddy.
Calling me sweetie this whole time.
Did you like Monte Carlo?
So
Seth MacFarlane, great guy.
Yes, really
that much
great.
We know. And
did you go to his big party with all the swing dancing?
I got totally fucked. Which is
again,
I missed your fucking party, which I was really excited about going to.
Thanks a lot.
Because of proximity to my home.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And B, because I knew you were going to be there and Drew was going to be there. And
Jimmy was there too.
And fucking Jimmy's going to be there. I didn't know Jimmy was going to be there. And I knew a bunch of other cool people and fun people would be there. And I missed you. I hadn't seen you in a long time and yes. I wanted to be there. I couldn't be there for that. And I had Mike August's wedding was the night of Seth's big, orchestra.
Right.
Did you go?
I did.
How was it?
Well, that orchestra is amazing.
Yes.
And then Seth can sing for real.
Right.
And so I just can't. It was really cool.
I know. And he's up on that house on top of that hill
with a panoramic view.
And last time I was there, he was building a drive-in theater essentially in the backyard, like a huge screen that would come out of the ground.
Yeah, it's there. And he had that. I see. Yeah, I thought it was. I thought that was temporary. He was projecting behind the orchestra. So the screen was behind the orchestra, and he was showing great old footage of Los Angeles.
Oh, you thought that was like a temp screen?
I thought it was a temp screen.
That screen, I do believe, goes down into the ground.
Jeez.
It's one of those things where if you give a dude who's in his 30s an unlimited amount of money and no kids and no hassles and no whatever, and you just put him up on a hill and you go, well, figure out a way to spend it. He's going to go, well, I always kind of wanted a drive-in theater in my backyard.
What would you do?
I would probably just move in with Seth.
if you had unlimited money, you'd just be like, I don't even want it.
Well, first off,
you would set up you'd buy a number of school buses that you could jump.
I'd do something with cars, but it is the fact that...
you'd build the flying car, finally.
You'd be cool to tell people Seth MacFarlane's your roommate, number one. I'd pay him to live with me. Two, every time I brought a chick home, I'd be like, do the Stewie voice. You know what I mean?
But you'd have to... It sounds like you're kind of hiring him.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to pay him a lot, but he's got a ton of money.
I know, but I have unlimited money. And I'd move into his house.
Yeah.
And I'd really just pay him. And he could live in it because it's so big.
Yeah.
We'd probably never see each other.
You'd watch movies together?
I would watch Taboo 2 outside and on his 80-foot screen.
The neighbors are going to love you. Would you hire a stylist?
I would fire my current stylist.
Yes.
Who keeps confusing my blue and black sweatsuits.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, your stylist is colorblind. Good golfer.
I also want to talk to you about the helmets for the kids, because you saw Sonny's helmet over there, and I think Eddie.
Eddie had a helmet.
Eddie had a helmet. And I think you even told me that you had it done up like the University of Washington.
Yeah. We had it painted. And so the colors of my alma mater.
Now, what was the story with Eddie, your young son?
So Eddie had heart surgery when he was 2 months old. Did you know
wow.
that? You knew that.
I think I did hear that.
Actually had nothing to do with his head, really, other than the back that some kids' heads are... His head was a little bit flat, as is mine currently.
How old is Eddie now?
He is six.
He's six. So yeah. He had the asymmetry in his skull.
Yes.
And he was... What? How many months when they said you need the helmet?
It was pretty... I think it was four months in we started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
There he is.
Little Eddie
look at that.
Now.
You think, look at them. He has way more hair than me. And that was when he was like three.
That was part of my argument was the hair. Like, I knew my son was going to have the Corolla Jufro that you can shape like a topiary. It doesn't matter what's underneath it. You'll shape the hair to be whatever shape you want it to be. That much I knew. Oh,
there's Isaac
with you
too.
And Isaac and
Spuds
McKenzie.
And Spud. That dog is stuffed.
So he said the doctor said he needs the helmet, right?
They said, well, it is total vanity,
right?
But if they're offering it, they said it would be, you know, it could. They said his skull could just grow normally.
Sure,
but they said why not?
Let me ask.
And it worked. Your kids worked, right? Sonny's worked.
I never wore it.
Never wore it.
No, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing that's going on. Oh, I didn't tell you that part.
Your son never wore the helmet?
He wore the helmet for literally, I think, about 2 minutes. And Sonny had that kind of, as a kid, he had that like hot head, like that sweaty head. Like
right.
He'd wake up in his bed and he's like sweaty and it was. And so we pulled the helmet onto him, and I think it was like the dog days of summer, and like pulled the helmet onto him, and he was immediately pissed off about it. Like he was only, I don't know, 5 months or 6 months old or, you know, seven.
So was Eddie, but we just.
And we just pulled the fucking helmet on him, and he just started bitching. Like he was crying, and then you could see like the sweat bead, you know, coming down the forehead. And I had one of those moments. I don't know if you and your wife have ever shared one of these moments, but where you just kind of looked at each other and you did that, I won't tell anyone you're a horrible parent. If you don't tell anyone I'm a horrible parent, but I'd like to go to sleep tonight. And this fucking kid is not going to bed with this helmet on.
Right.
And also that, how bad can it be? It's at that moment where you realize you don't have the car seat in the car, but you just go into the corner and oh, fuck it. If no one's looking, just get in the back. You know, it's a lot more than we had growing up anyway.
Yeah.
And so you do that. Ah, fuck it. What's the worst that could happen? And I knew. By the way, I knew it was fucking scam because I have this, it's like free brake inspections, free termite inspection, free whatever. No, not free whatever, but there's no business that works where we come to your home, we look for termites, we find none, and we leave. Or we bring your car in, we throw it up on the rack, we take the rims off, turns out your brake pads and rotors are in fine shape, and your bearings don't need to be repacked, so hit the bricks.
Right.
That never happens. So when you take your kid to a specialist, his job is to go, he needs this helmet. Because that's the way every business works. And we'd like to think the medical world doesn't work this way, but that's how it works.
In the first place, though.
The doctor...
Your regular pediatrian.
Yeah, the radio did the, well, there's a little asymmetry and the blah, blah, blah. But again, it's like, what orthodontist doesn't say the kid needs braces? And they're not lying. Who, you know, you take a look at my bottom teeth, they're crooked. They could have used braces, but we didn't have money and I'm fine.
Man.
So, well, I'm not fucking doing any Seth MacFarlane. Movies, well, that's for goddamn sure.
Not, I mean...
But you know what I'm
Seth
saying.
Seth did suggest the reason why you weren't in it.
Because my lower teeth. Or just the lower teeth?
Well, it's a combination of what it's done to your
face.
Are
you shitting me? If I had braces, I'd be starring in a Seth MacFarlane movie?
It helps everything.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
I mean, because your underbite looks like... you're almost like a cartoon.
Oh, damn it.
Anyway.
No wonder he's so nice to me, you know? Yeah. He's like, you fucking sorry sack of shit with your crooked
teeth.
Yeah,
he looks
awesome teeth. Skin. All right. So The pediatrician, you know, recommends we bring to the helmet. Of course, the helmet guy makes his money off selling these helmets. And it's got to be the greatest gig in the world because it's like $5,000 for, you know, 10 cents worth of plastic. And we strap it on and it doesn't work. And I go, you know what? Your head's fine. My head's fine. Your parents' heads are fine. I mean, there's nothing in them. But my parents' heads are fine and there's nothing in them either. Fuck it. And I and by the way, how come no kid in our entire preschool or kindergarten, how come no kid I ever met ever wore one of these or needed one of these?
They didn't exist when you were a kid.
No, it didn't.
And you probably didn't, your parents didn't send you to school.
No.
They just put you in a boxcar, right?
I did not. Well, they threw some hay down in there, to be fair to them.
Right, and they're like, here's school.
Yeah, and every...
And after the huge loop around Southern California, you came back at the end of the night.
So,
well, Eddie's head is perfect, wonderfully shaped.
I know.
Now.
It would have been anyway.
Maybe.
Because Sonny's perfect. His head is.
Sonny's got a horn. Isn't it a horn that he has?
It's a hump, but yeah.
Okay. I just want to.
I know. You could hit golf balls off his head. That's what he's good for. All right. So,
do you play golf? Have you ever played golf?
No, I tried. I used to fuck around a
But you could
bit.
Play baseball and all that.
Yeah.
So you had a swing that would work if you.
Oh, I couldn't keep, I could crush a softball. I can crush a softball, but I can't hit a golf ball. Couldn't do it.
If you spend a couple hours at the range.
I can't. So.
It's like what your wife said about dancing.
What'd
she
say?
Your footwork in a boxing ring is amazing, but then when you get on a dance floor, it's like, no.
Is that what she said?
But you brought you brought up her point to me air one time.
Yeah, well, she was right. Even if I made her point for her.
She danced a lot at the party, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Was it good? She went to the party.
No, it was good.
It was
great.
Went to the party. I was jealous.
And she brought a friend with her.
Yeah. She's
very nice.
She brought her friend Jody. She's like, I'm going to the party.
We talked about you and...
What was wrong?
About you at 35,000 feet. vomiting onto Kakari
in my jack-off sweat lodge built for myself.
It's amazing you haven't been thrown up a plane.
Well, like I said, it's first class, and I build a tent. I'm respectful of the other
plane. And your seat's all the way back. You've made the other seat equal with it. And you're screaming about Monte Carlo. Who wants to watch this? I don't.
I didn't have to ask who wanted to watch it because there was 11 people who weren't watching it. They're all
Do you have an iPad?
I do, but I don't know how to work it.
Oh.
Yeah.
You would love it.
And there's no porn on the flight. I mean, you can't, again.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
These flights without porn.
What the fuck?
Well, I bet virgins, they're very progressive.
So that's probably coming.
They have Red Shoe Diaries. I think that's it.
Oh, my God.
They have some Simon Rex.
All right, let's talk about the soup.
Yes.
I thought I saw a couple spots for the soup.
You saw, yes. It's moving to Wednesday.
Wednesday nights. That's what I'm talking about. What season are we on of the soup? I mean, we're over 10 years now. I'm not the soup, but it was Talk Soup, and then...
Well, Talk Soup started in 91, so it's 20 years.
91?
91. Yeah, there's a good picture. Yeah, 91. So that was Kinnear in 91. He was there for 2 years, I think. Two and a half. But the current... Then it was canceled in 2001, and then it came back in May of 2004. Mm-hmm. Or June, so it's been on since 2004, which I can't believe.
I want to. You're great on it. The show's really funny. It's perfect for you, and it's almost cheating because the clips are great. The quips and the clips are great, and it's really you can't miss it.
When you've got when Tyra was on, but right now we have like Hillbilly Handfishing or Jellos
and
there's so many shows that it's so easy to make fun of.
And you guys do a great job.
Thank you.
I was...
the writers are incredible, and K.P. Anderson, the executive producer, without him, it would be terrible.
Is there anyone there from back in the day when I think me and Drew and me and Kimmel hosted the show, and I was a dick?
You were a dick?
I was a huge dick to them because...
Why? Oh, because they wanted you to... Did they want you to read off the teleprompter?
They had me and Drew in, and they said, you host. And something I didn't know about you, I didn't know you were dyslexic. Are you dyslexic?
It's gotten a lot better. But I used to not be able to read.
Right.
But I've done it now so much that I'm a lot better at it.
I couldn't read either, and I couldn't read the teleprompter, but I certainly couldn't kind of do what I did with Drew and read a teleprompter, because Drew and I, at the time, were doing Loveline on MTV, so we would just sit next to each other, and we'd look at each other, and we'd talk.
Yeah.
So, and we never read a teleprompter, and also, I just didn't, in terms of capturing my voice or Drew's voice, whatever that is, I just felt like, these guys aren't going to be able to do this. So I told him, give me the beats and give me the times that you want us to talk about this. So it's like 30 seconds on, you know, the boa constrictor that choked out the guy's infant on whatever hillbilly show was on at the time.
That's a real show now. It's still going.
So I said, you know, just give us, and then give 30 seconds, then we'll talk about that, then we'll throw it to the clip.
Right.
And then on my way in, because no one ever listens to me, I think I called them and I said, seriously, the prompter, just the beats, just the time and the beats, right? Yeah, sure. And then...
They said yes.
Yeah. That's what we'll do. And then when I got there, just because you and I know from this business that no one fucking ever listens to you.
No.
And I swear to God, my third book's going to be called No Mayo Means Extra Mayo.
Right.
It's like, because I've spent my life just saying to people, don't let this happen, right? Oh, right. Yeah, no, for sure. And then that's it. Whether it's the waitress that doesn't need to write stuff down, although she does need to write stuff down because your no mayo got you extra mayo, or the guy who's working for Talk Soup who doesn't listen to me about the prompter. So we sat down, and it was a prompter just chock-a-block filled with shit. And I mean, just scroll, a never-ending scroll of verbiage. And it was never going to work, A, because of my inability to read, and C, because Drew and I were at each other, not looking forward at the prompter.
That makes it. Then you weren't a dick.
So I told them, like, hey, put that, and they went, like, yeah, do it this way. And then we went back and forth. And then eventually, after muttering through this thing and doing the best we could, at some point, like, one of the guys came out and went, look, I got an idea. Why don't we just put the beats on here and we'll put the time? And I was like, fucking A. What the? How many fucking times do I have to say this? And then they were like, why are you being a dick?
They actually called you that? They actually said that?
No, they didn't say, why are you being a dick? I went on a Loveline that night and did about 20 minutes on them.
As you should have.
And then they gave the fuck you thing. Like, they gave the, why are you talking shit about us? Here, let me say this, Joel McHale. What, are we the only fucking town in the world and the only time in history when someone can, like, fuck up repeatedly, and if you go, hey, quit fucking up, they go, whoa, watch your tone. Like, in the past, you just get shot with a musket ball, right?
Right.
Or and thrown now, off a ship, like, thrown into the water or something.
But they're predisposed to assume that you are, that someone is going to be a diva or a dick.
I guess.
And so they, it's, I don't, yes, it doesn't make any sense.
This town, like, you got to watch your tone with people, even if all they're doing is fucking up what you've asked them not to fuck up repeatedly.
Right.
Okay.
And then you, but if you are, but then you could, if the person's an actual dick who's being an incredible dick to everybody,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter. They usually continue to work.
The thing that I love about Joel McHale is Joel.
I'm a dick.
Is unable to be a dick.
Mm.
Because
people would disagree.
I think you were a civilian for probably too long. One would say, would argue too long.
You know that I broke into movies when I was 17.
No.
I'm kidding. I just made that. Okay.
I know. I know that about you. I know.
I got here when I was 29, so in 2000.
Quick break to tell you about Tommy John. The end of the year starts now, and it's a mad dash to the new year. While most people call it the holiday season, Tommy John wants to also let you know it's called the softest season. That's right. Go hard on the to-do list, but try to go easy on yourself and start with a new pair of Tommy John men's underwear. Because when you start your day wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. That's right. Tommy John men's underwear is breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with 4 times the stretch of competing brands. And that's why they don't have customers. They have fanatics, like super fanatic Giovanni.
This fanatic just went hard on his latest Tommy John order.
Yeah.
Got myself some new lounge pants, some undershirts, the cool cotton, everything I love, and I'm trying out the brand new Apollo underwear.
apparently that's the newest thing, and I can't wait to see.
That's right.
How it fits.
See, you're doing your softness season right, Gio, and I love it. Plus, it's all backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee, and we, right here at Corolla Classics, can offer you a great deal. Tell them, Gio.
Get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/classics. That's TommyJohn.com/classics for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/classics. See site for details.
And that was Joel McHale and Adam Carolla, two master riffers back in 2011.
It's funny to think at one point Jack Silver did not want to to have him on the show anymore, on the radio show. It was like too much. He used to come on weekly with a sampling of clips that were played on The Soup or Talk Soup. And they were always funny little clips that they hadn't sourced for the show themselves. And without Joel being there, they wouldn't have gone over them. That led to like some crazy classic drops and moments. And it kind of starred their whole relationship with Joel, which continued on through the podcast. He still appears to this very day.
Yeah.
He's one of the best guests you guys have. And, part two tomorrow, they go over his journey some more. There's an update on his dad who fell off a roof or a ladder. The thing that happens to all old guys. Don't climb the ladder after 70.
Agreed. Also, speaking of Jack Silver, so the story goes back when Adam had his radio show, Jack Silver said that there are three comedians that we need to just get off the show. They're not funny anymore. And Adam insisted that we have them on, and it was Joel McHale, Zach Galifianakis, and Louis C.K. So,
indeed.
I trust Adam's instincts just a touch more. All right.
Zach was their first guest, too, so, besides Jimmy Kimmel, so it's really weird that, like, so early on, they hated Zach, and it was back when Zach was still doing Seth Galifianakis before while he was still allowed to do that character.
Yeah. All right, here's our next clip. This is from 2010. Let's do some news with Teresa.
Adam Carolla Show 373, featuring Nils Lofgren, not in this portion, Teresa Strasser, or Brian Bishop, August of 2010. This is the infamous episode where Lynette had to get her car buffed out before she picked up Nils. He'll be in part two tomorrow, which airs in the Classics feed, playing two songs, one in the main show and then one in the bonus content. The bonus content had a significantly lower audio quality because nobody bothered to provide me high-resolution copies at the time. So I've gone back and remastered it, so you're going to hear two great songs tomorrow. We haven't played any of these on the show before, so it's a nice little treasure trove of lost live musical performance from the Carolla Show. I can't wait for you guys to hear. Until then, Teresa's news and the gang hanging out.
Mandate, get it on. Good day, Bald Brian.
You're a great big fat person.
And good day, Teresa Strasser.
Good day, I'm Carolla.
Oh, my wife's over the moon today because Nils Lofgren is coming in. I guess you call him the lead guitar player for Bruce.
Yeah.
Since the Born in the USA years, I think joined the band in 84. And has been rocking with him ever since. Does a lot of solo stuff, so he's in town. We'll bring him in. First, a word from our good friends at GoToMyPC.com. You know, we're going out of town. We're doing a lot of live shows. We're doing a lot of dates. And I'm going to be using the bejesus out of my GoToMyPC.com.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you can... My dad's kind of a tech head, so he was way ahead of the curve on
very
this stuff.
Very early adopter.
Oh,
I was top water.
Oh, he had himself a Tandy computer built back in 95 that would still rival anything that Mac puts out today.
He was one of the first guys to get an iPad.
Yeah, it was a piece of bark. He's a draw on it with a piece of charcoal.
Hell yeah.
Had better reception.
How should I know?
In real time, that's right. My mom's a big fan.
She never misses, especially the extra content.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
All right. Had a star-studded weekend. Saw on Saturday, saw Leno and Seth MacFarlane. Leno, now I know you guys not interested in cars, but you're probably interested in technology. Something very interesting. I've said many times, Leno and his crew... they're not wrenchers, they're fabricators. It's different than a guy turning a wrench or being handy or, you know, popping a carburetor off or rebuilding a carburetor. They fabricate stuff. They make stuff. Leno has so many crazy old cars that are so, you know, he has steam-powered cars from, you know, 1901. Where do you get a head gasket for a Stanley steamer from 1901? You can't go to Track Auto. You have to make it. It's insane. He has about 100,000 square feet over there in Burbank. He has like five guys going full time one cool guy named Bernard, and I was looking for a piece for my car.
True or false, his collection could be described as museum-esque.
Museum-esque, and as I've said more than once, people do this thing where they think it's sort of folly. Like, it's like, oh, look at him throwing his money away on all these steam-powered cars, or throwing his money away on all these Duesenbergs, or throwing his money away on a... Au contraire. Like I said, walk through that place. He'll point out cars he paid $65,000 for. They're worth $265,000. He has two Miuras in there. One he got from Dean Martin's son for free. The other he probably paid well under $100,000. They're combined $1 million right now. He's not throwing his money away. It's like fine art, fine anything.
Sure, especially if you consider how well the Index 500, some kind of conservative investment like that has done.
Yes. Yeah, you could have bought something in 1978 when Dean Martin's son gave you a Lambo for free, and it probably would not be worth $500,000 today. So he has all kinds of crazy fabrication machines in there. And here's the craziest, and I just brought this in because I thought you'd get a kick out of it, and Donnie will take a picture of it. I have a switch in my car, and it has this plastic bezel around it, and it's broken. And I looked all over the internet for it, and I found the switches, but I can't find this weird little shroud bezel thing. And as you can see,
what's a bezel?
It's a little shroud that goes around a switch. If you had a switch on your dashboard, you might have the switch, and then around the switch would be the little part that goes into that dashboard that the switch goes into. Wow. So the switch goes into this little
the casing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One would be the ding dong. The other would be the little plastic thing it comes in. This is the little plastic thing it comes in. Broken. Can't find them on the internet. All over eBay. Nothing fits. No, calling all the Lamborghini places. None of them have them. They're all broken. Blah blah blah. Bring it in to Leno's shop. He scans it. Does it on his computer, and then punches it into a machine that literally makes a exact duplicate of it. I mean, like some kind of weird magic. I mean, like as if it's really, really science fiction. You have a computer, you draw a picture of something on this computer, or you scan something, mm-hmm. and then you press a button and a machine makes...
Like something your dad would have at his home office.
Incredible. Many shops. Yeah. So this is what it started out as, and then this is what it ended
up as. Beaten up, broken, chipped version, and a brand new, but it's the exact same dimensions.
Next to the machine is a crescent wrench, a working adjustable crescent wrench. Scanned the metal one and had a working adjustable plastic one made exactly the same. You could take rings or an earring or anything you wanted, scan it, and a new one would come out. It'd be made out of PVC plastic, and then you'd have to make a mold of it out of metal. I needed this out of plastic, so I didn't have to do anything. But Leno, what a mensch. I dropped this thing off like 2 weeks ago. I said, you know what, don't worry about it. I'll find it online. Calls me 2 days ago. Yeah, it's ready. Come on down. And he made me two of them.
Just in case.
Just in case.
And then you also saw...
I went up to McFarland's place.
How's he?
He's a great guy. He is running out of things to do with his money, so he's turning his tennis court into an amphitheater.
Drunk!
Just great, smart, cool guy. And I think he's going to be hosting. Nils is in town because he's going to go to the Comedy Central Roast. And Seth is hosting the Comedy Central Roast of David Hasselhoff. And he wanted some advice. He didn't want me to come over and ask for my advice. I wanted to talk to him about some other business. Sort of social. Had a cocktail. But I said, or two. I said, here's my advice for hosting. He's the roast master.
Yeah.
Say, take a piss. Because you watch it on Comedy Central. It's an hour long or it's 90 minutes or whatever it is. And you think Sarah Silverman or Greg Giraldo or Jimmy Kimmel's doing 4 minutes or Jeff Ross is doing 3 minutes and 20 seconds. Oh, no. They're doing 22 minutes. It gets cut down to 4 minutes. And times 11 guys or 13 guys. Like at some point when Dick Gregory is going on minute 41 and your bladder's going to fucking explode. Now, you don't realize when you're nervous, you get kind of a cotton mouth.
Yeah.
And you also look for something to do. Like if somebody said, hey, sit up on this sofa. It's really a weird form of torture. those roasts. Because imagine this. You go into the place, you go to like Hollywood Palladium or something, or, you know, big venue in New York or whatever. I've done three of them. So you do this thing where there's a crowd of, you know, 500, 600, 700 people. They're all sitting out there. And by the way, there's recognizable faces. Like, oh, there's Paris Hilton talking on her bedazzled cell phone in the first table, blah, blah, blah. And now someone said, all right, now you'll sit up on a bunch of sofas sort of behind the, you know, main dais there, or you'll be up on the dais, but you're behind the podium, and you're going ninth. And so you just sit there. And by the way, everyone who's going before you is not doing 5 minutes. Like I said, they're doing 18, 25 minutes. So you got a good two and a half hours to think about.
Just marinate in your own fear and insecurity. Right. And if people, like, kill, that makes you nervous.
They're
and
killing.
If people bomb, that makes you nervous.
And you're going ninth, so they're using up your jokes.
Oh, yeah. Now, by the way, 5 minutes into Hasselhoff, you know,
right. How many hamburgers drunk, in Vegas, drunk,
German fans,
right. How many of those?
Talking car, it's over.
Every kit joke is fucked out. Like, so you're literally just like literally scratching jokes off of your shopping list or your playlist. And you're sitting there and you don't realize when you're just sitting there sort of being nervous, you want to do something. And what you usually do is you drink. Not booze all the time, but like water. Just it keeps your hand moving. You have cotton mouth. It's just you find yourself like you'll sit there with a bottle of water. You'll unscrew the top. You'll take a swig. You'll screw the top back on. You'll set it down.
Right.
And 11 seconds later, you'll reach for again, unscrew the top, take another sip, screw the top back on and set it down. It's just like perpetual motion thing. You don't realize now, because of the nerves, because you're out there half hour early before the thing starts, because you've drank three things of water and had a couple of beers to calm the nerves, you've got to piss like a motherfucker right now. And now, like, the sixth guy's up there, and they're not going to take a break, and you don't want to stop. Like, you don't want to, like, put your hand up and go, I'm going to piss myself. But really, you got to piss like a motherfucker. So
that's very practical.
Seth, just evacuate that bladder, baby.
Very practical advice.
Thank you.
And maybe watch the intake of liquids. You know, like, it does. You do kind of need to busy your hands. And plus, I feel like it helps when the audience is watching you to display an air of confidence. Look at me. I'm just sipping out of my water.
Yeah. It's so weird how you can do anything but just sit there. And it'd be really nice if they just brought you up sort of as they needed you.
It's weird that you have to sit up there and sort and look at the audience that whole time,
yes,
as opposed to just be backstage. It's like, can you stare at the lion that may or may not eat you for a few hours?
Speaking of the lion, it's not just the audience that's eating you. It's everyone who goes up before you making fun of you.
Right.
That's the other thing,
too. Collateral damage.
Yeah, and they're not so interested in facts either, because like Greg Giraldo before the Pam Anderson one, he came up to me and he goes, "Hey, Adam, yeah, you're half Mexican, aren't you?" And I said, "No, I'm not." Okay. Smash cut to 2 hours later. And who we got back there? Adam Carolla. You know, Carolla's half Mexican, so not only is his name Carolla, but he was conceived in one. It's like, all right, long way to go for sure. Carolla, everyone in Guadalajara is named Carolla.
Now, Seth MacFarlane seems like an interesting choice to be the roast master at the Hasselhoff roast.
Seth is funny because you don't think of him as like a stand-up comedian, but yet he's a great performer, and I bet he's going to do a big musical number, something like that. And I actually, I talked to him. Oh God! I talked to him on the way.
He should do this as Stewie.
Talked to him on the way to rehearsal. Yeah, he should do this as Stewie. And he said, they're hassling me. What should I do? And I said, just do exactly what you want to do because they don't know what they want either. And they just you always get these shitty notes from all the executives. I said, just believe me, like a chick, a dog, or a kid, they want to be told. So just tell them, we're doing it my way. It's going to work. It's funny. Now back the fuck out of the way. Thank you.
She's like a dog or a kid?
We need to be told. We need you to be the boss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you are the Cesar Milan to my chihuahua. Yeah. I need you to be in command of me.
Did he invent that salad, dude?
The hoe whisperer.
No, don't let us walk you. You walk in us, and then we feel peace.
I know it sounds horrible, but hear me out. What I'm saying is comedy executives don't have an ounce of fucking comedy in them. They don't know what the fuck's funny. I mean, Bull Bryan brought this up the other day when he was talking about how Jack Silver used to come in after every Joel McHale appearance on my radio show and go, "Peeps, getting kind of stale. Maybe we should give it a break. How about once a month? Why has he got to come in every week?"
Les McHale was his instruction.
Les McHale. Les Joel McHale, who's, I think, is going to be a huge star about 2 years from now. He's already a big star. He's got a network television show, a cable television show. He's got movies in the can, movies lined up to
playing
go.
Playing Carnegie Hall.
Playing Carnegie fucking Hall. Les McHale. And McHale would come in.
You're the dumbest person alive.
McHale
what
would
is
come
wrong
in
with you?
Loaded with clips. And his advice was Les McHale. That's what you get. So, and by the way, Comedy Central, NBC, whatever. ABC, whatever. Nobody there knows a shit about comedy. They just don't. And but they do know shit about giving a lot of notes. I don't think Jack Silver didn't like Joel McHale. I don't think he possibly could have had a problem with a guy who was on Talk Soup bringing in really funny clips for 7.5 minutes on a Friday. He felt like he needed to say something. You understand?
Yeah.
And I'm a hermaphrodite.
When you then the executive feels like they need to say something and you go, "Relax, he's funny. I got this under control." They kind of go, "Ah." And I'm just saying, kids feel out of control, like when you're driving and you go, "I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what to do. What do you want to do?" And when you pick a chick up for a date, you shouldn't go, "What do you want to do? What do you want to eat?" You go, "I know this place. I know the chef. It's awesome.
I'm picking you up at 8.
I'll be
this
there
is where
at
I'm 8. Taking you.
I'll be blown by 10:30. Yeah. It's a thing.
Because I deserve it.
I deserve it. I'll plant you like a bulb in the garden. I'm just saying the executives want the same thing. They don't know it. But they need it. So I just told them, just tell them I know what I'm doing.
That'll put them in a soothed place.
Yes.
Okay. Seth MacFarlane is at the helm. I don't need to worry. I don't need to give more notes than
right.
Mozart.
That's right. All right. T-Bone.
Yeah.
You got some news lined up for
us?
I do.
From the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bites, this is The News with Teresa Strasser.
Around 7:30 p.m. Saturday night, it became official. Chelsea Clinton, the young girl we met in the White House, is all grown up and married to her longtime boyfriend, Mark Mezvinsky.
Mm.
She wore a stunning Vera Wang gown with silver beading circling around her waist and a wide smile similar to her mother's.
Mm-hmm.
She said her I do's without...
Did you say smile or ankles?
Oh. Right. I think maybe just the smile.
Oh, okay.
Chelsea said her I do's without paparazzi or press in Rhinebeck, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton slimmed down for the affair. He lost more than 15 pounds before walking Chelsea down the aisle.
Why do you have to do that?
She requested it.
What? Shut Chelsea. Up, bitch, would be the answer to that. I'm paying $3 million for this bullshit.
Estimates are $2 to $5 million.
I'm paying $2 to $5 million yeah. for this bullshit. I should get to the size of fucking Fatty Arbuckle. I should roll down the aisle while you're hanging on to me.
Catering alone, $750,000.
But can I say this? I know. I'm sure she's a decent person. But remember when rich guys, and especially politicians and heads of state and stuff like that, they'd get fat and grow a beard. No one put on a top hat and people leave them alone. Well, since when does some chick get to tell, you know, the ex... I know it's her father, but tell, you know, President of the United States, ex-President of the United States, hey, and I want you to drop 15. Oh, by the way, I need you to drop 4 million. And then I need to drop 50.
Here's my guess. It was out of concern for her father's health.
All right.
Because he's had some trouble with his ticker.
Yeah, so maybe she's worried. Good.
Okay. And that.
All right.
It was an interfaith ceremony, including elements from both the Jewish and Christian
yeah.
traditions.
Does that mean he's a Jew?
He's a Jew.
Flip a fucking coin. It drives me insane. I've been to... By the way, you want to know the definition of rape?
This ought to be good.
Been to a wedding where I had the interdenominational, you know, the priest and the rabbi.
Yes.
The fucking, by the way.
They stomped on the glass.
Priest wrapped up in 3.5 minutes. Yeah. That is fucking, what he does is a Beatles song from the early 60s, from Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
And what this other guy does is Stairway to Heaven. The fucking rabbis, oh, go on and on and on and on. But you sit there through both of them. You have to listen to both the bullshit. Couple basically divorced 2 years later. That's right. You sit through both those fucking blowhards, and then they're divorced fucking before the paint even dries.
Now, if it was just one or the other, that would have been like a fondling you didn't want. But to have both.
That's all out rape.
That's flat out.
But look, just to, you know what it's like? It's like saying, look, one team's the home team in the Super Bowl. They get to wear their home jerseys. The other's the away team. They flip a coin. They don't go, we're both the home team. We both get to wear our dark jerseys. Just flip a coin. No one wants to fucking deal with both of it. Or combine the two. Can't there be some guy just sort of takes elements of both face and kind of puts them in a Cuisinart? So he's a Jew.
He's a Jew.
He's got the prayer.
Yeah, 31 years old, and she's 30.
Mm-hmm.
And she did look pretty, gotta admit.
Yeah.
And she then had the hair up.
They paid. I got her the flat iron.
Yeah.
The hot iron.
You sent her that.
For the,
it was very sweet. Yeah.
So the Clintons paid, I guess.
Yeah, generally the bride's family pays.
Yeah, just like my, oh, wait a minute.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. The majority of the guests were friends of the bride and groom.
I'm thinking about my poor brother-in-law.
Oh, God, with the sporks.
Well, thinking that my dad was going to pay.
Yeah, I don't think when my husband married me, he said, ooh, an heiress.
Yeah.
I'm going to inherit a shitload of debt.
Yeah.
I don't believe my dad owned a tie.
My sister
to
got
walk me down the aisle.
Married.
Some Jews.
But I did.
Yeah. My sister got married at my fucking grandmother's 1,100 square foot house in North Hollywood with one bathroom.
Ooh.
One bathroom.
Now, was there a, who was officiating? Did you have a?
I got drunk and just drowned the whole thing out. I had, you know, some funky, you know, the chick that wears the,
amber beads.
Big amber beads,
yeah.
And has the gray hair, but it's still worn in a sort of younger, it's long gray hair.
Creepy long. She has a hyphenated last name.
It's the wrong length for her color.
And age.
Yeah. Yeah. Miss Reese Johnson or something, and you're scared and you think she's a lesbian, but you have big amber beads and, you know, kind of a nice rack, but a fat ass, and hey, she's wearing sandals or something flat.
I now have a nasty husband and a wife. You may
freak out.
Yeah.
A lot of prominent guests were there, including former White House advisor Vernon Jordan, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, Ted Danson, Mary Steenburgen.
Sure.
Barbara Streisand?
You have to go, too, right?
Oh, was not in attendance. Oprah, Barbara, and Spielberg, not in attendance.
Really?
There was buzz that they would have been there, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But Ted Danson was there. And by the have you ever interviewed Ted Danson?
No, I don't think I have.
I think
maybe
he might
I've met
be,
him a time or two.
He might be in my top three celebrities I've interviewed.
Really?
Super nice.
Incredibly
seems
nice. Seems like he has almost everything going for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Warm, talented.
Good looking.
Is Damages is one of those shows that we really should be watching, but we're not?
Mm-hmm.
Are you watching it?
It's my The Wire for the last 3 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Start with The Wire first.
All right.
It's so good. Well, Rosie O'Donnell had some things to say about President Obama's appearance on The View.
Okay. What's he doing on The View?
He's trying to reach a female audience.
But he's not in
that's where you go.
But he's not in a pop band. He's supposed to be running the country. I know, I'm so naive. I think these guys are supposed to be running the country and not sort of getting their shit together for re-election, which he's not at the halfway point of this term, is he?
Getting close?
Getting close. Not there yet, right?
Well, just because we have a couple wars we can't afford and an economy that's collapsing.
The
immigration problems, education system failing.
It feels unpresidential. I don't want to sound like I'm uptight, but it doesn't feel like something the president should be. The president should be doing his fireside chats and his whatever from the Oval Office and doing his thing. He shouldn't be booked on shows. It's beneath it.
George W. did Dr. Phil. So
he
it's not unprecedented to do daytime. And, of course, they've all done the late-night shows. Everyone remembers Clinton playing the sax.
I just feel like it's beneath them, especially The View. And you're not supposed to be worried about your popularity. You're supposed to be running the country. I mean, if you're a president, guess what the best way to get popular is?
Fix the economy, get everyone health care.
Right, get out of Afghanistan or whatever, whatever the thing. Get the country.
Unpopular war.
Well,
we can't afford.
Historically, whether you're thinking of whoever you're thinking of, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, whatever, I mean, there are Arsenio appearances where you're playing a little air sax. It's all well and good. But ultimately, it's like, oh, man, those were some good years when he, you know, my mortgage interest payment was down and blah, blah, blah.
He was also Governor Clinton running
for
election. Well, yeah, when he did that, he was running. But I'm just saying, once you're in, what are you doing on the fucking VO?
Well, that's exactly what Rosie O'Donnell said on her Sirius XM radio show. Quote, I don't really think sitting presidents should go do fluffy daytime TV shows, maybe an hour on Oprah or something, adding, although I'm happy for them, that's a good booking.
But I just don't feel like you should be doing an hour on anything other than this country from your workplace.
Sarah Palin also agrees with you. She went, she took to her Twitter and said, President with no time to visit porous U.S.-Mexican border to offer help to those risking life to secure us, but lots of time to chat on The View, question mark?
I'm not going to break it down time-wise because that's always just kind of chicken shit. Like I go, oh, he's at Camp David. He's got time to go fishing at Camp David, but he doesn't have time. I mean, of course, whatever. Who cares? Let him have his vacation. Let him do what he wants. I just feel like it's unpresidential. It feels beneath him.
I know what you're saying. I watched the segment, the early segment, where he got to sort of give a little mini State of the Union, things that he felt good about and kind of consolidate his version of where things were going with the country. And I actually thought he came across incredibly presidential. Then, unfortunately, The View had, well, you know, they had to do a light segment.
Right.
Where they asked him about various pop culture things.
I really don't want the president's opinion on Snooki.
Do you want to take a listen to it?
Yes.
Do you know that Lindsay Lohan is in jail?
I actually know that, yeah.
You knew that?
I did.
Okay. Does Mel Gibson need anger management?
Let me answer the Afghanistan question. No, look, I haven't seen a Mel Gibson movie in a while, so...
Yeah, no, okay. The tapes are really better than any movie he ever made. Yeah. Oh, please. Should Snooki run as mayor of Wasilla?
I gotta admit, I don't know who Snooki is.
You don't?
What is that?
GTL, and I wish I didn't know this. Which is good. It stands for Jim Tan Laundry, which is what the situation describes as a good day before you go out on the town.
That's what the mooks do before they go out at night.
Jim Tan Laundry, GTL.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I get it.
But, you know, situation's going to move on to a movie career, of course.
Yeah.
Scripted.
I'm saying, do you want to see the president doing this?
I didn't particularly...
That low Joy Behar asking her about Snooki.
No, that was unfortunate. But then I put myself in the mind of the producer of the segment.
Oh, you have to do
it. They had to do it.
But that's why he shouldn't do the fucking show.
Or just say, I'm going to do the serious segment where I tell you how things are going and that you're going to get health care and then goodbye.
How much does it cost to get the fucking fleet of helicopters and security and... I mean, it's a fucking waste of time. Just go to the fucking Oval Office and start kicking some ass. That's it. Get the economy going, work out of Afghanistan, whatever it is.
Sadly, at any job, part of your job is making sure that your boss, in this case the American people, knows that you're doing a good job. Thus, you have to do things to... even if you're working somewhere as a sales manager,
I disagree. I mean, I know what you're saying, but what's happening is these guys used to do, you know... 80% of it was, hey, the gig of being a president, and 20% right. was, well, I'm going to go campaign for this other guy who's running in Arizona to try to get him elected and blah, blah, blah. Now it's almost 50-50. Now it's almost like they're starting before the halfway point of their term, going out and doing, you know, either campaigning for someone or campaigning for themselves. Fuck that. Be like, and the reason I'm disagreeing is, there are guys in every profession. There's race car drivers that are assholes, but all they do is win. There's actors that are temperamental dicks, but they're great box office draws, as we all know. There's guys who run corporations who are just fucking... They're Jerry Jones. I'm sure Jerry Jones is a world-class cock, but he builds Texas Stadium, and he runs the Cowboys, and he runs whatever. There's plenty of positions and places where people are just world-class asswipes, but they're so fucking effective that essentially everyone goes, fuck it, we'll hire them for our next movie, or fuck it, we'll give him a ride in our NASCAR. He's a temperamental dick, but he wins on Sunday. My feeling is I would like the president to win on Sunday, and we'll base it on that. And I think if people are happy and the economy's good and crime is down and the schools feel good and the medical system feels good, healthcare feels good, that'll be our vote. We'll vote based on that, not whether, you know, Joy Behar asked her about Snooki on the news.
I totally agree. In a perfect world, he'd spend no time on The View and all of his time fixing the economy and the healthcare system and whatnot. Unfortunately, there's an entire cable news system whose function it is to make you think that he's losing. So he's got to counteract that by telling the Good Housewives of America, don't worry, we're winning.
Yeah, but there's also a side that doesn't say that. I mean, I know each side thinks the news is against them, but there's as much good about him as there is bad about him. I mean, the news is basically broken off into two pieces.
You right. have
the news that you got your Fox, and then you have, I don't know, your New York
MSNBC
Times or MSNBC. So whatever you're into, that's who you're going to listen to. So if you're into Rush Limbaugh, you're going to listen to Fox. And if you're not, if you're an Al Franken, you're going to read the New York Times. And either way, they're both doing either a smear campaign or they're both just doing a fluff campaign. But either way, that's going to exist no matter what. It always has. Just kick ass and let the economy fix itself. And that's how you'll be judged ultimately anyway.
Well, they did seem to do a pretty good job of stopping a severe banking crisis. Most people agree on that.
Footnote to that story, I only bring it up because there's no better time. Remember you were, a couple episodes ago, you were saying you like sports because no matter how big a dick you are, if you're good at your job, you know what I mean? You were wanting to think examples. Yeah, you wanted to think any examples of guys being such pain in the asses that they were just let go even though they could still play.
Right.
I was thinking about that. And Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds, last year in the league, he led the league in on-base percentage. He still was a good player. Tried to latch on to the team. No one signed him. Too much baggage.
Well,
Latrell Sprewell.
That was Latrell choked his coach.
Well, Latrell was still scoring 12, 13 points a game when he left, and no one would
sign him. Well, there's a critical mass point of saturation where you become you choking a coach becomes too much. And Barry Bonds, it was more, I think, about his the steroid stuff and the baggage involved.
And Latrell, to be fair, was a bit of a ball hog.
Latrell hadn't choked his coach in a good 7 or 8 years.
Let it go.
Whether you're a NASCAR driver or an actor, you can. I'm sure Mel Gibson has fucked his way out of a career. I mean, you can do it. It's just you have to really fucking work at it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Normally, people just look at your stats.
Which is a lot easier in sports when there's a very quantitative way to evaluate what you're doing.
Right. Yeah, it's a little different in government.
Now, do we have time for a quick story on porn?
Sure.
And Lawrence Fishburne?
Yeah. Oh, thank God. I've been begging for that guy to do porn for a long time.
Well, it's not that guy.
Huh?
It's his daughter. Ooh. Montana. Is she down and out and has to do a porn?
I think if you name your daughter Montana, you got to expect this to happen.
You got to expect at least something, right? Any state or place name is generally going to... in my neighborhood, which as you know is filled with registered sex offenders and poverty, I often see, walk by this car...
And I'm guessing many others who aren't registered.
Yes, those are the ones that concern me.
Yeah, lion's share of the people aren't registered.
Unregistered
sex offenders.
Right.
So I often, on my little walk to the park, I often see this beat up old car. And in the bad neighborhood with the Juilliard bumper sticker.
Uh-huh.
And I think to myself, that's all you need to know. Because whoever this is got into Juilliard, so they were obviously incredibly talented.
Mm-hmm.
Yet here they are living in the hood.
Right.
And driving that car.
Right.
And struggling for a job. Now, Montana Fishburne has got a different idea. She's seen what's happened to Kim Kardashian and others who've had sex tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's decided that the fast track to an acting career is not Juilliard.
Mm-hmm.
It's her... Vagine.
Mm-hmm.
So the daughter of Lawrence, who you know from CSI, The Matrix, mm-hmm. and a lot of other movies,
sure,
has decided to appear in a sex tape with male porn star Brian Pumper.
Sure.
According to the National Ledger, she's 19. She will use the name Chippy D, and she's hoping the film will launch her mainstream acting career. She says, so I've watched, it's so bizarre. She says, I've watched how successful Kim Kardashian became, and I think a lot of it was due to the release of her sex tape. I'm hoping the same magic will work for me. I'm impatient about getting well known and having more opportunities, and this seemed like a great way to get started on it.
Can I say this about the sex tape that's released? Doesn't there have to be, isn't it sort of like, if you ever watch America's Funniest Videos and you see one that looks cooked,
yeah,
like when the guy walks across the lawn and he steps on the rake and it almost looks like he throws his head toward the handle and then there's a big jerky motion and you go, oh, fake. And all of a sudden it doesn't work for you emotionally.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, well, what's the big deal? Still fat guy getting hit in the head with a rake. Yeah, but he did it on purpose, so it's no good. I feel the same way with bootleg porn and celebrity porn. If you just make your thing out on a houseboat with Pam Anderson and some guy steals it from your safe when he's remodeling your house and toss it up on the ultranet, that's exciting. If you make it intentionally and then release it, there's a kind of a, fake fart.
You it know loses what I mean? Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, same with Faces of Death, because a few of those were clearly cooked.
Yeah, T, you can masturbate to some of those.
Some of them, the ones that are real.
Right.
But I was very disappointed.
So is there this element of, you know, again, it's all, well, look, if you want to see naked people, you can see naked people, turn on the internet. There needs to be a sort of provocateur, a sort of weird sort of, you're peeking through the curtain kind of, there's a shame thing, like, oh man, they didn't want you to see this, and now you're seeing it, right?
Hence the point of view porn, where you're seeing things from the point of view of the guy.
Cock cam.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I enjoy that.
If this stuff, the point is if this stuff is meant to come out,
right?
Not quite as fun as the one that they make on vacation with the boyfriend who's a ne'er-do-well, right?
Now, yeah. And what is this like if you're Larry, Fishburne?
No. Call him Lawrence. He doesn't like to be called Larry.
I think I believe that he is playing a Thurgood Marshall right now here in L.A.
Awesome,
famous Supreme Court justice. He's a great actor.
He's not that rockabilly guitarist.
Thurgood Marshall. No.
He covers.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent actor. Serious actor.
He does Wasn't Mean. He does Bad to the Bone.
No,
all right.
No, he speaking does of guitars, big decisions.
Should we bring, I don't know that song. Should we bring our guests in?
Yeah, I see your wife.
Put a cap on the rest
more
of that
Teresa's
news.
News coming up. If you don't listen, you're an anti-Semite.
And that was the news back in August of 2010 with Teresa. Make sure to tune in tomorrow to hear those Nils Lofgren tunes that he plays.
He's like guitar virtuoso. I didn't know.
He's a master. All right, that'll do it for part one. Part two coming up right now.